You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Ayr on Scottish Grand National Day. A fantastic day of racing across the board. We have lost Newbury, but there's also Thirsk and Bangor to support Ayr in the afternoon. Then into the evening, we've got Twilight Racing from Nottingham and then Under the Lights at Wolverhampton. It's Ross Briley, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel who will be in the studio from 1:25pm on Saturday afternoon. But first of all, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to four contests on Saturday is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Quinn?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Sam, how are you, sir?
Good, yeah. I'm not bad at all, thank you very much. It's been a pretty decent few days for the Quinn Yard. Couple of nice winners.
Yep, good week. We've only had six or seven runners and a couple of winners. A good winner at the Craven meeting. A nice horse won a handicap at Beverley, a three-year-old as well. And we had a maiden at Redcar on Monday who just got touched off, who won't be long in making amends and breaking his maiden tag. So the string seem in good form, and long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. It must be difficult for a lot of the flat yards, though, Sean, because we're still getting pretty inclement weather conditions. And we saw that yesterday on Craven Day at Newmarket. The Craven itself was ran in awful conditions.
It was, and I was speaking to somebody about this only yesterday. I mean, it's harder with the trials and whatnot. If you've got a Guineas horse, you might want to get a race into it. But in general, with these horses, if the only horses I think trainers will be running at the moment are horses who are proven in the conditions, horses, handicappers that have shown form and are liking for these type of conditions. Because I do think if you run a young horse in these conditions, then they there's every chance they might have a harder race than you would otherwise want. You know, two-year-old first yeah. time, you'd like them to enjoy their experience, even them three-year-olds. So, yeah, it's going to cause one or two problems for trainers, but everyone's in the same boat, and you've just got to get on with it. And look, it will dry up before too long, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, and a horse who seemingly handled conditions, though, was Stormy Antarctic, who, of course, landed the Craven for Ed Walker and George Baker, beating the Red Hot Favourite Foundation. To be fair to Ed Walker, he said before the race he feels as though he's got a classic horse on his hands here.
Yeah, well, he does have a classic contender now. There should be no doubt over that. Stormy Antarctic looks the best of the British contenders to take on the Aidan O'Brien horse, Air Force Blue. He won really well yesterday. They went a little bit of a farcical gallop. Tony Curtis got his own way in front, didn't he? He eventually finished fourth. But you'd have to be impressed by the way Stormy Antarctic quickened. He sort of joined his rivals at the head of affairs on the bridle and was only really shaken up to go clear under George Baker. Eventually, he won by 3.5 lengths from Foundation, who produced rather a laboured performance, it has to be said, Foundation, didn't he? He didn't look to show that same zip that we saw in him as a two-year-old. And that was a little bit disappointing. Say nothing from the winner, but I do think the second rate's a disappointment.
Well, KP was on course yesterday and he reported that Foundation did get very unsettled with the Thunder and Lightning.
And that's perfectly understandable if that was the case. They all had to deal with that, but look, it will have upset some more than others. And it's far from ideal, is it, having young horses in the parade ring and going down to the post when you've got Lightning and Thunder you know, thrown into the mix.
Yeah, and I suppose if you are a supporter of Foundation, the good thing is we're unlikely to encounter Thunder and Lightning too often on a racetrack. It's probably not one to temper enthusiasm if you are a fan of the horse in that regard.
No, and I think we'll likely see him next, maybe in the Dante or something. He's going to miss the Guineas, so look, we might see him in a truer light at York in May.
Yeah, hopefully so. Of the other performers yesterday at Newmarket, anyone else caught the eye? Magical Memory was a decent winner of the Avenant Stakes just half an hour before the Craven.
Yeah, he looked good. He'd beat some horses that had the benefit of a run this season. And I also don't think he'd have enjoyed conditions that much. I think he's a better horse on quicker ground. Connections have always felt that. So to beat the likes of Tupi, Matmu and Aeolus and Marek, horses who were all proven on quite soft ground, rates a very good performance. And Charlie Hills has got a sprinter to really go to war with this year and pitch in at the top table in all the Group 1 races.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we saw Linguistic winning the big money race of the day, the three-year-old trophy for Godolphin, beating Land of Hope and Glory, of course, for the Cornwall boys. Brave Hero, in the same ownership, was well supported before the race. But Linguistic ran out a pretty nice winner there.
Yep, broke the maiden tag in doing so as well. These sales races aren't always that strong, but John Gosden looks to have a nice colt on his hands. And as you say, it was a nice payday for Connections.
Are we in danger here of diluting group races a little bit with these sales races? Because there's obviously a really good pot on offer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, potentially you can win more money by winning this than you can a group race.
Yep.
Are these races tarnishing the black type events a little bit?
I'm not so sure in this instance. You look at the third, Biodynamic. He was only rated in the 70s, so there's no way Connections would have run him in a pattern race. Linguistic was a maiden coming into this, so if he didn't run in this, he'd have likely run in a maiden over the next few weeks. Land of Hope and Glory, yeah, he's probably a genuine listed horse. You might have seen him in a listed contest. But the others all were sort of slightly below listed pattern class, so I'm not sure these early season Tattersalls ones take from it. Maybe later in the year, you know, with the two-year-old sales races, I think you could argue, yeah, we do see some horses heading into the sales races in search of bigger pots rather than going for group twos, threes and listed races that are worth a lot less money.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Speaking of classic trials then that have been affected by the weather, we've unfortunately lost both days of Newbury's classic trials meeting. The Friday we knew was going to be off. We heard that on Thursday, and then the news has broke today on Friday that the Saturday has also been called off. But there's talk of possibly switching the fixture to an all-weather track, which we saw when Musselburgh brought their card down to Wolverhampton. How could you? I couldn't imagine the Greenham being ran on an artificial surface, Sean. How do you think that would work?
It wouldn't be ideal, and I'm, you know, I don't think anybody would have really chosen to. But if it means saving the race and saving some key trials and getting some good racing on a Saturday as well for punters, then I'm all for it. Looking down at the Greenham, you know, I think you could argue that they were unlikely to have been any 2,000 guineas horses in it.
Yeah.
The horses that were declared for the race are probably ones that will just fall shy of that class, and maybe what horses that will prove better at 6 and 7 furlongs than a mile. But you know, it's top class racing, and that's what we want on a Saturday. You've got a Heritage Handicap, which would spark plenty of interest in the betting ring in the Spring Cup. 17 runners for that. If we could save that, then brilliant. Dubai Duty Free Stakes, or the Fred Darling as we more commonly know it, looked at an up to scratch renewal with five fillies rated over 100, so you'd like to keep that as well, ideally. Look, if we can get it on, then whilst it's not ideal to be racing on an artificial surface, it's better than nothing, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. And I suppose it's good to see a forward-thinking approach from the BHA, who are often criticised for not doing enough and not changing. At least they're thinking here, right, let's try and do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've sort of set their stall out early enough, and I'm sure they're working very hard behind the scenes as we record this to see what they can do. But it'll have to be tomorrow with regards to the trials, because they can't be run any later.
Yeah.
The 2,000 guineas takes place 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. It's not all about the flat action, though, Sean. We're not far away from Punchestown, of course, the last big national hunt festival of the season. And we hear news today that it looks very likely that Don Cossack, Vitor and Q-Card are all going to line up again in what will be a renewal of, the King George form will be on offer. And a lot of people were left almost bereft in that race because Don Cossack came down, we didn't get to see the finish.
Mm-hmm.
Q-Card came down in the Gold Cup, we didn't get to see them finish.
Yep.
Vitor, of course, was a faller last time we saw him at Aintree. So if all three can stand up and complete, we should be in for a cracking race over the Irish Sea.
Yeah, it'll be brilliant, won't it, to see those three horses pitched in against each other. It's so rare that we get to see all the stars clash in a race. And if those three pitched up against each other, you could nearly argue it would be the steeplechase of the season. We had them all line up at Kempton over Christmas time, and that produced a thrilling finish. But we just didn't get to see Don Cossack at the death. Similarly, in the Gold Cup, Vautour didn't turn up. He went down the Ryanair route, and Q-Card didn't complete. But look, all horses appear to be in good nick, and they're pleasing their trainers at this time of year. And let's keep fingers crossed that remains the case over the next week or so, and that they do turn up.
Yeah, and they've all won big races since they met in the King George as well. So as you say, they're all in good nick and good heart. Hopefully, of the three, Sean, what would be the preference for you at this stage?
Probably the Gold Cup winner, Don Cossack. Over 3 miles, one, we know he's a very thorough stayer. Mm. That we're still not sure about that with Vautour. Q Card, he looks a thorough stayer now as well. But
hard season for a 10-year-old.
He's had a very hard season, and he's going to have to go to Don Cossack's playground and take him on. He's going to have to be the one crossing the Irish Sea. So for that reason, I'd just edge towards Don Cossack.
Okay, fair enough. Really looking forward to Punch the Time then. And of course, Classic Trials on the flat. We're blessed with good action over both codes at the moment. But we'll move ahead now, Sean, to look at Saturday's action. We would have been discussing some of those trials at Newbury, but with that abandoned, we can focus our attention solely on the meeting north of the border at Ayr. It is, of course, Scottish Grand National Day. The big betting race comes up at 4:10. We'll be looking at that race and the three that precede it. So we start with the 2:25. This is a Grade 2 Novices Chase. Six runners line up for this one. 2.5 miles is the trip, and just over 25 grand to the winner. At the time of recording, the betting is headed by Bristol Demai, who is a 6-4 chance. Henryville is 9-4. Pan au Chocolat, 11-2. 8-1 for Le Mercure. Otago Trail is 12-1, and Kilaka Key is 16-1. Obviously, we saw Bristol Demai at the festival, Sean, and he's very consistent. Seldom is he out of the front two lately.
No, he's as you say, he's enjoyed an excellent season. His first season over fences, hasn't he? He's met with defeat a couple of times, but he's been beaten by two very good horses in Armad at Sandown in December, and of course Black Hercules in the JLT last time out. 2.5 miles looks perfect for him. I think a lot of people thought that the ground maybe just dried up a little bit too much for him at Cheltenham last time out, and he's always maybe been a better horse on a softer surface. Well, it's pretty soft up at Ayr, so he's going to get ideal conditions. And 6-4 at the moment, I think he looks a really, really tempting price. You know, he'll have had a hard race at Cheltenham, but he's had a month to get over that. And you pose the question, would Henryville, Pan au Chocolat, or Le Mercure, or any of them, would they have figured so prominently in a JLT? I think the answer is no.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. And 6-4, bigger than a lot of people would have forecasted for this race. A lot of people would have seen him a lot closer to even money than the 6-4 available at the time of recording.
Yeah, indeed. And I suppose the danger maybe rates Henryville, who comes here a fresher horse than most, having just had 3 runs this season, 3 lower key runs. He arguably ran his best race of the year when finishing second behind Irish Cavalier in an intermediate chase. Irish Cavalier had a lot more experience than Henryville, and of course was a Cheltenham Festival winner last year, so that was a good run from Henryville. But still, I don't think it puts him quite in the same bracket as Bristol Demai at this stage.
Okay, Bristol Demai then, the pick for you, Sean, in the 2:25?
Yep, definitely.
Bristol Demai then in that race. We go to 3 o'clock now. This is the Scottish Champion Hurdle, a Grade 2 limited handicap. 2 miles is the trip facing these 13 runners declared for it. Joint fives at the time recording with Ivan Grozny and Clondor Warrior, both available at 4-1. Shrewd is 8-1. Chitabello, 8-1. 8's about Cloudy Dream. Stern Rubin is 9-1. It's double figure quotes for the rest of them. This looks quite an interesting renewal, Sean.
It does indeed. And it's made more interesting, but with the addition of the two Mullins horses, of course, as he continues his search for a first British Trainers Championship. 57 grand and 57.5 grand on offer here. Every pound counts at this stage of the season. On offer to the winner, that is. And in Ivan Grozny and Clondor Warrior, he's got two very much in-form horses who are deserving of their place towards the top of the market. Ivan Grozny sealed a dream day for David Mullins a week ago, didn't he, when winning the race after the Grand National under this rider. He won by 8 lengths. He absolutely bolted up. He was eased close home. He was 16-1, so wasn't necessarily that strongly fancied. He'd run a fair race in the County Hurdle prior to that one, finishing 8th, but he'd been put in his place in the Betfair Hurdle earlier in the season, that the big handicap at Leopardstown in January. So ultimately, his season was looking a little bit disappointing until he got to Aintree last time out. But that was only a week ago, and for that reason, I'd probably take him on given how cramped his odds are. Clondor Warrior was a winner 18 days ago at the Irish National Meeting. What a fun horse to own this fella is. You know, he's a Royal Ascot winner. He turned up in all the big staying flat races through the summer of last year, having run in all the big handicap hurdles through the winter. He'd been given the winter off, which was understandable. He needed a break, but returned in as good a form as ever when winning at Ferry House, as I say. He's £12 higher, though, and he might just struggle against one or two of these. What are we going to take the Mullins pair on with, though? That is the question. Well, this race is often won by unexposed horses, novices, lightly raced types, and Malcolm Jefferson has one down towards the bottom of the weights that makes a huge amount of appeal to me. That is Cloudy Dream, who looked a really, really nice horse at Market Raisin 19 days ago when beating Kentucky Star. He beat him in effortless fashion. That was off a mark of 1.22. The handicap has put him up to 1.33, but I think that's he had to go up that, Sam. He deserves to go up that much. He's I think he could have more to offer, and I'd be really excited if I had Cloudy Dream in our stable. I think Malcolm Jefferson has a nice young horse on his hands. Another horse with a similar profile is Chitibello, who's also a novice. He finished second behind Altior in October of last year in a novice hurdle at Ascot. He then was third behind Stern Rubin in November at Newbury at the Hennessy meeting. He's been off since then. I'm not quite sure why. Whether he suffered a little setback or whether the connection just decided to keep him for the spring, but he's sure to be tuned up on this first run off a 142-day layoff, and he'd be another one to throw into the mix. But I'll side with Cloudy Dream each way.
Cloudy Dream then for Malcolm Jefferson and Noel Feely getting the pick for Sean in the 3 o'clock. We go to the 3:35 now. A listed handicap chase for us here, just shy of 2 miles. The trip facing these seven runners. What's on your mind for this one?
Well, Tom George has Always on the Run, who is a fast-improving young chaser, having won his last two starts at Kempton, both of them. He won off 1.29 last time out, just won by a length and a half from Not Now Sam, and the handicapper only put him up to 1.33, so he hasn't been overly harsh on that horse. You've also got Solar Impulse in there, who's likely to be towards the top of the weights. He missed his intended start at Aintree last week, but was a winner of the Grand Annual at Cheltenham the start before that. And the second horse, Dan Dridge, came out and ran really well at Aintree last week. So I probably side with Solar Impulse, bringing that top-class handicap form to the table. A grey gold will be suited by conditions, but will do well to concede weight all round. An Ultra Gold has enjoyed a decent time of things of late, winning two of his last three starts at Wincanton and Newbury respectively, but I think they'll have to go some to beat Solar Impulse.
Solar Impulse then the choice of Sean Quinn in this one. Paul Nicholls, Sam Twiston Davies and the Wileys teaming up on that one. Let's go to the 4:10 now then, the big betting race of the day. All eyes will be on this one. The Scottish Grand National, of course, ran over 3 miles and 7 furlongs. We've got a maximum field of 30 runners lining up for this. The betting headed at the time recording by Cause of Causes and Measure of My Dreams, who are 9-1 joints. Vita de Rock, 14s, along with Royal Knight, Golden Chieftain and Heathfield, 16s for Sea at Midnight, Vincente, Borough Baru, and its bigger prices for the remainder. I was reading the paper this morning, Sean, 147-year wait for an Irish winner of the Scottish Grand National, but they've got a strong hand this year.
Surely this is the year they get it, isn't it? This is as good a chance as they've had of winning at the Irish. You've got the likes of Cause of Causes, Measure of My Dreams. You've also got Heathfield, who's nicely fancied. Folsom Blue for Miles Morris. What a remarkable story it would be if Folsom Blue could win a national, giving Miles Morris a trio of nationals this winter/spring. I think Willie Mullins could probably seal the Trainers' Championship here, though, Sam. Yeah. In the shape of Measure of My Dreams, who had shown decent form in novice chases in Ireland through the winter and ran an absolute screamer in the four-miler at Cheltenham last time out, just losing out second place late on to Native River. But, of course, Native River went and won a Grade 1 at Aintree last week. Manella Rocco, the winner, looks at a very smart staying chaser in the making, and he had a whole host of highly rated horses behind him. It looked as good a 4 miler as we'd seen in years, and I think a mark of 146 is pretty fair for Measure of My Dreams. The handicapper actually dropped him a pound on the back of that run. I think if he knew what Native River was going to do subsequently, he wouldn't have dropped him a pound. He might have been putting him up a few pounds. But he's he makes the most appeal to me. Cause of Cause is won well at Cheltenham last time out, beating a good skin. But I just feel he was prepped for that day, Sam. And that was the same the year before at Cheltenham when he won the 4 miler. But he was well beaten on his next start, albeit in the Grand National. But he was disappointing subsequently. So I think, you know, Cheltenham was the be-all and end-all from last season, and he won. It looks like it's been the same this season, and I question whether he's in quite as good a form now. Some of Gordon Elliott's horses haven't come out of Cheltenham in that good a form. Golden Chieftain would be a player if getting round, but he's fallen on his last two starts. That would be a worry. Vita Du Rock was fifth behind Black Lion at Cheltenham last time out, and he finished ahead of See You at Midnight, and he's getting £4 off See You at Midnight. So Vita Du Rock comes into the equation. As I say, False and Blue would be a remarkable story if he could win. He was fourth in the Irish Grand National behind stablemate Rogue Angel last time out. That was a good run. He's Andrew Ring rode him that time. He takes the ride again. He'd be a player. And then looking at those at bigger prices, if I was to maybe try and throw one in at a bigger price, Highland Lodge might be interesting. He won the Beach Chase on his first start for Jimmy Moffat, was kept fresh for the Grand National, missed the cut for the Grand National, but this might be a nice way to make amends for not getting into the National. He'd be one I'd throw in at a bigger price. I see he's 20-1 with us at Hills, but at the moment I'd be splitting my stakes with Measure of My Dreams and Vita Du Rock.
Okay, then a couple for Quinny in the Scottish Grand National. Just remind us, please, then, your four selections for the action at Ayr on Saturday.
Yep, sure thing. In the 225, the future champion novices chase, I'm going to go with Bristol Demai, bringing top-class Cheltenham form to the table. We then have the 3 o'clock, the Scottish champion hurdle, and I'm a fan of Cloudy Dream in that race at a price. I'll be backing him each way. We then have the 3:35 from Ayr, a handicap chase, and recent Cheltenham Festival winner Solar Impulse gets the vote for me there. Then in the 4:10, the big one of the day, the Scottish Grand National, I'm going to split my stakes with Measure of My Dreams, who ran such a good race in the 4 miler at the Cheltenham Festival, and Vita Du Rock, who also ran a fair race when fifth in the Royal and Sun Alliance Chase.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Sean, and enjoy the action from Ayr on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Sam.
And remember, you can listen to William Hill's Racing Radio on Saturday, where we've got that Ayr card covered in full alongside the action at Thirsk and Bangor in the afternoon. Then into the evening, we're at Nottingham and at Wolverhampton. Ross Briley, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel are your team for all of that. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.